Is Alvy here?
Yes.
Oh, good. Senator, hi, Senator. Oh. We don't have this money here. Good morning. I'd like to call the House Education Committee to order. It is 9:11, Friday, February 6th. We are in the Betty Davis Room. Members present are from my right to left, Rep. Eichheit, Rep. Underwood, Rep. Schwanke, Rep. Dibert, Rep. Elam, Co-Chair Rep. Himshute, and myself, Rep. Story, Co-Chair. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to discuss business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones during the meeting. Thank you very much for that. I want to thank Cale Brown, the House Education Secretary from Records, and Doug Bridges from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today, and our co-chair committee aides, Tammy Smith and Ella Lubin. Today we have a couple items on our agenda. The first, we will bring back Senate Bill 6, Asian American Programs from Senator Gray Jackson, and House Bill 261, which addresses average daily membership, for public testimony. I invite Senator Gray Jackson and her staff, Clark Bickford, to the table to identify yourself for the record. I want to give you an opportunity to speak to Senate Bill 6 before we begin public testimony. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you.
Mr. Bickford.
Senator LV Gray Jackson, representing District G in Anchorage. First, I want to thank the co-chairs for hearing this bill again and also the committee as a whole. I know that there are a handful of individuals who are looking forward to testifying in support of this bill, but I just want to offer a brief statement, as I just did, to thank the committee and all the stakeholders who have worked with my office on this legislation for several years now, and members of the public who follow this issue, not only during this year's committee process, but as I just mentioned, prior years as well. It's been out here for quite some time, and actually it almost made it to the finish line once. I'm encouraged to see the bill under consideration again because this more accurately reflects the history of our great nation, and I look forward to today's public testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Do I have any questions at this time? Seeing none, I will open public testimony for Senate Bill 6. Testifiers will have 2 minutes for their testimony. I want to remind the listening public that if they would like to testify, they may call into the LIO office using the following telephone numbers: in Juneau, 907-586-9085, in Anchorage, 907-563-9085, and all other parts of our state, 907-586-9085. Public testimony is now open. I will first go to the room. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? Seeing none, I will go online to see if we have anyone who would like to testify. We do not. Okay, seeing no one else in the room or online, public testimony is now closed. I will set an amendment date as of Thursday, February 12th at noon for Senate Bill 6.
Madam Chair, one of the testifiers the other day, Kay, she has a pamphlet. Would you allow her to pass it one out to everybody? A pamphlet.
Thank you, Senator. Yes, and we will post that pamphlet online, too, so the members of the public can see that.
Okay, thank you very much, and happy Black History Month.
Thank you. Happy Black History Month to you, too. Okay, at this time, I will be turning the gavel over to House Education Co-Chair Himshute. I'm going to switch the gavel over to Rep. Himshute.
You want me to be off record now?
Yeah, we just. We're back on record here in the Betty Davis Room and House Education Committee. Welcome, Co-Chair Story and Tammy. I would like to ask you to identify yourself and take the opportunity to speak to House Bill 261 before we begin public testimony.
Thank you, Co-Chair Himshute and my fellow members of the House Education Committee. Excited to hear any of your questions today. I know we want to get to public testimony, but I would like to get an indication of things that are burning questions you have about this bill. And we can talk about them later after public testimony or in another hearing. But what I'm excited about this bill, what I'm trying to do is diminish uncertainty in our education funding budget process and help get more consistency, which we desperately need. We desperately need it to build public confidence. We desperately needed to be able to retain our teachers earlier and let them know that, yes, we want to keep our beloved teachers in our communities. So I just wanted to talk about the four main components briefly. The first component is really the heart of the bill. It's really what the bill is about. It's allowing student counts to be based on the average of the previous 3 years or the previous year, whichever is greater. And this is not something I came up with on my own. I wanted to remind everyone that many states do this. And it was presented to the Task Force on Education Funding. It was suggested in a report to the Alaska legislature in 2015 that we switch to doing an average of the state count. And why this brings more certainty is districts would know, if we adopted this, they would know July 1st what their student count would be for the school year. Right now, it's a guesstimate. School boards do their best with all the data they have in the spring of the year before July 1st, before the year starts, to estimate. This would make districts be able to take the three-year average or the prior year average of their student count. And so why is this important? It's important because we know when we do a student enrollment count in the current year, sometimes there's surprises for districts. There could be a loss of student body, and what defines our budgeting is how many students we have, because we get a base student allocation for each student, and also the amount of the base student allocation. This bill does not address that. That's an issue would be needed to take up separately. But what this addresses is we would know what the student count was. We could go forward in March and April when they're doing statewide recruiting and say, yes, districts could give certainty to teachers. So that is a really key heart of the bill. Second, we also would change how we're doing intensive needs students. You know the components of that. That idea is these students are of highest cost, highest need. We have an obligation from the federal government, education laws, to meet their funding needs. So we want to address that in real time and do a true up in February. If a student has moved into a district, they need to have those resources to be able to hire that personnel to take care of them. Third, it smooths out the funding cliffs when school membership in small districts falls below 100 or 425, which prevents large changes in funding. With small changes in enrollment, you can use one or two students, fall below the cliff, and lose a significant amount of money. And that's happening in mid-year now, which makes it really almost impossible to adjust. And so this component was also recommended in that report by the education consultants. And then finally, this bill would allow for alternative schools with an average daily membership of fewer than 175 to be counted as their own school rather than as part of the biggest school in the district. Being rolled into the count of the biggest school means that alternative programs, which typically have much smaller class sizes and more personalized services based on the complex needs of the students, they are not getting the resources they need to help these important people, young people in our community. So I say it's time to fix the education funding and student count processes that we can have an impact on with a policy change, and that makes districts be able to focus more on student achievement. I cannot stress that more. I saw that so much as a school board member. I see it now in our work as legislators. When I look at how our impact affects the communities, they're just living in this uncertainty, and I want to give it to our families, to our teachers, to the school community. So I really appreciate your consideration of this bill, and I look forward to your comments and then public testimony.
Are there questions? Okay, I think. All right. Well, right off the bat, we'll just go in order from the end of the table. Representative Elam.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation and for bringing this forward. I think it's a good conversation to have. I guess I'm kind of questioning philosophically, right? There's components of the bill that I like and other areas that I kind of question a little bit. Very much within Alaska, we have a local control model, And this bill, in my opinion, appears to be trying to level out some of the peaks and valleys of volatility and risk. And so I guess my question would be is who's introducing the risk? And if you have local control, don't you also have local risk management? You know, are the some of these decisions that are creating the volatility, obviously we participate in some of them at a state level, but how much of this is also being happening at a local level whenever we talk about local control? And so is this the state taking on local or state level responsibility or normalizing those numbers for decisions that are happening at a local level?
For Chair Story.
Thank you, through the chair, to Rep. Elam. We have to remember that the student count is based on actual data we'll be using that was existed in those districts for the past three prior years. And that has to be done, not changing that in statute. And DEED verifies that, and I think it's really, for our oversight, it's important to know that, yes, that is. As far as taking away local control from a district, the districts in spring, the local control we're taking away is in the spring. They are projecting based on the economist, if they hire one, based on manually moving up all their kids from the earlier grade to the next grade, thinking about, oh, do we have some movement, out-migration, in-migration in our community, and making a guess for what the enrollment will be. And so what we are doing now, I think, is helping districts. I don't think we're taking away local control.
If I may.
Sure.
I wasn't meaning that we were taking away local control, but are we assuming local risk for local decisions? If they make a decision within the local school that causes migration out of their school, are we assuming the risk for the volatility of their funding by them losing students?
Co-Chair Story, the example would be the district eliminates counselors. Families aren't happy with that decision.
Right.
They leave the district.
They cut the football program. They move. You know, various things.
Okay. Through the chair. Through the chair, if that happened, I think no matter what we did, there's a risk that is changing. So there's always flexibility in the work that we do. I think as policymakers and in listening to the public too, which we'll hear from about this bill, you know, that is always a factor in there.
Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Representative Dybert.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, co-chair, thank you, Rep. Story, for bringing this forward. I would just like to make two comments, and maybe there's a question, but as a educator for over two decades in Fairbanks, the interior is a unique place because we have a lot of our moose hunting happens in the fall, so there's a lot of movement with families coming into Fairbanks and then outgoing with their families to get their food for their freezers, and this would definitely help schools and teachers with that movement of families, which is very important. And as myself, when I first got into teaching over a long time ago, my first couple of years I was pink slipped, and that uncertainty, like I wanted to buy a house in my community, but this pink slip, you know, didn't allow that. So it kind of shut that down. And so when we do that to teachers, if we want teachers to stay in our community and buy homes and raise a family, I think that this policy will help with that. And I know that municipalities and districts have been pleading for this for years, for predictability, forward funding, kind of smoothing out that year-to-year volatile, can I keep this teacher, can I not? We have to lay them off, they have to clean up their classroom. So this legislation aims to solve that, and I think will help so many principals, so many superintendents that we heard from last week, and I just thank you so much for bringing that this legislation forward.
Through the chair, thank you for those comments.
Okay. And Representative Schwanke.
Thank you, Chair Hemshue. Through the chair, one of the biggest questions that I have on this is the size of the fiscal note, and so I'm hoping that maybe we can get a breakdown of the components of the fiscal note. You have several sections in the bill, and so they all do something a little bit different. So I don't know if we can try to get some more clarity on that. That would be extremely helpful. And then the other is kind of a comment, and I do want to express a similar concern to Rep. Elam. My biggest concern with this is I feel like the heart of the bill really addresses the fact that we have some declining enrollment issues across the state, and districts are shrinking, and along with that comes less funding, and districts are panicking in how to continue with services. And so one of my biggest concerns of the bill is that it does help alleviate some of the risk, and the fear is that the districts aren't going to take the declining enrollment as serious, and they're not going to be immediately forced to address the very specific reasons why families are leaving. So I'll just leave that. That's just a big concern that I have.
Would you like to respond?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, this, you know, nationwide, we're having less babies, yes, less young people, and we're moving out in different optional programs. And so this has been a trend that's happening nationwide. And some people call this averaging a declining enrollment adjustment that they have been doing across the states, because it's the idea by the averaging is that you're giving your district, you know, time to smooth out the planning for your educational program and not doing a sudden drop, which is very alarming to families. The ability to plan. And so they've seen this really, other districts have seen this as really, other states have seen this as really proactive to try and smooth that out for communities, and are, you know, take it very seriously. They know it's a way of adjusting to delivering on the educational programs you want to have for your students, rather than all of a sudden abruptly responding to a sudden drop in enrollment. And so it is meant to be a smoothing, a gliding. And what it is, the beauty about it, based on a three-year enrollment, because I've had some districts that say, hey, if I gain three students this year, I won't have that funding for those three students, you know, based on this averaging. And then when I've talked to other states, it's a reminder that, well, you won't this year, but you know what's coming for next year. You're going to have those three students. So you're planning your enrollment, you know, projections based on that. Mm-hmm. And so there can be, it can go either way. But I'm hopeful that it would be used as the best way to plan your educational program.
Follow up?
Yes. Looking at the Fairbanks North Star Borough, the number of minors has declined by, I think it was only 3% in the last 10 years, and yet the borough school district declined in enrollment by 19%. So that's a pretty significant gap that I think that the district itself needs to reflect on. And I believe that the Hold Harmless Clause is actually fairly effective in doing what you're attempting to do, and I just worry that this might not be the fix that we're hoping it will be. That's
through the chair.
Thank you. Through the chair, they're at tempo. When you have to have a 5% enrollment drop to get to the Hold Harmless, and the first year it's 75% of the funding, then it's 50%, and then it's 30%, which is pretty drastic way to. And this way would smooth it much more easily. And again, to me, I think when we look at education policy, we have to think how it affects the communities, how it affects wanting to keep teaching staff in the state. And so our choice is, do we want to, and it deletes the Hold Harmless in here and moves to this gradual enrollment. So do we want to provide it that way to our communities, or do we want to do, you know, what we currently have? So that's the choice that we're weighing and, you know, we're taking information on. And I wanted to address the fiscal notes, if I might, made that question.
Could I have one brief second
sure.
to ask Representative Schulke, what is your source for that? the decline in the number of minors? Like, where's that studied? Or
I'll have to get back to you on that. It was a search that I had done a little while back. Yeah, I can find those numbers for you.
Yeah, I'd like to see it sort of statewide, use that same source. So thank you. Okay, apologies. Go ahead.
No, fine. Thank you.
What's your story?
Yes, through the chair, the fiscal note, and I was going to address that after we heard public testimony because I do want to get to that. But I met with the department the other day about the fiscal note because I, too, was hoping it would be broken out in different components. So, like I said, the heart of the bill is the three-year averaging. So would there be amendments to move it down to a number that I felt we could do, like taking out some of the components? So the department is working on that. They're going to try and meet that. And we do have Heather Hannigan online to answer some questions. And we... so I'd like, after public testimony, I'd like to hear from her.
Okay, and just for the awareness of the committee, we're going to go until 10 minutes till 10, and we have six people to testify. We do have Heather Hannigan online for questions. We also have Marie Marks online for questions from Ledge Legal Division, and I think what we'll do now is go over to public testimony. So testifiers will have 2 minutes for their testimony. I want to remind the listening public that if they would like to testify, they may call into the LIO office using the following telephone numbers. If you are in Juneau, 907-586-9085. If you are in Anchorage, 907-563-9085. All other areas of the state may call 907-586-9085. We're going to open public testimony. And we'll start with the folks in the room. I think Lon Garrison signed up to testify. So if you could come forward to the table, please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Lon Garrison. I'm the Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. Co-chairs Hemshute and Story and members of the House Education Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of House Bill 261. On behalf of the Association of Alaska School Boards and locally elected school boards across the state, ASB strongly supports the bill's provisions establishing a three-year rolling average of student counts as a basis for determining the adjusted average daily membership. This is a practical, common-sense improvement that brings greater stability, predictability, and transparency to Alaska's public school funding system. School districts must begin building budgets months before the final enrollment numbers are confirmed, and when funding is driven primarily by a single annual count, even small enrollment fluctuations, particularly in small and rural districts, can result in a significant swing that complicates staffing, programming, and long-term planning. House Bill 261 addresses this challenge by allowing districts to use the greater of the prior year count or the three-year average and smoothing short-term fluctuations while reflecting long-term enrollment needs. ASB also appreciates that the proposal strengthens the funding system without changing the existing count period or modifying the current adjustment factors or adding administrative complexity. Instead, it modernizes the calculation method while preserving the integrity of the current foundation formula. Equally important, using historical data allows districts and school boards to estimate funding levels earlier in the budget cycle, improving decision-making and reducing mid-year disruptions, and supporting a more stable education program for the students and their communities. In short, House Bill 261 represents a thoughtful, balanced improvement that enhances the predictability while maintaining flexibility for districts experiencing growth. For these reasons, the Association of Alaska School Boards respectfully urges the committee to advance House Bill 261. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garrison. Appreciate your time. If we could have Frank Hauser come forward, please put your name on the record and... begin your testimony. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Co-Chair Simshute, Co-Chair Story, and members of House Education. For the record, my name is Frank Hauser, Superintendent of the Juneau School District, and I appreciate the opportunity to provide testimony in support of House Bill 261. I want to begin by emphasizing that House Bill 261 is not about increasing funding or changing the core structure of the foundation formula. It's a technical and thoughtful update that improves stability, consistency, and alignment between how school districts are funded and how we are required to operate. As superintendents, we're required to make long-term decisions, staffing schools, issuing contracts, and building budgets well before enrollment is finalized and foundation funding is certified. These decisions must be made months in advance before the October count is complete. House Bill 261 directly addresses that timing mismatch by allowing districts to rely on the greater or prior year ADM or a three-year average ADM. That approach does not ignore enrollment trends. Instead, it reduces short-term volatility so districts can adjust responsibly over time without being forced into disruptive mid-year corrections that do not reflect changes in student needs. House Bill 261 also addresses an important equity issue related to school size. Under current statute, small alternative schools operate as separate facilities in larger districts are treated differently than similarly sized alternative schools in smaller districts. That difference is not based on the needs of the students served or the programs offered, but on how many students reside in a district. House Bill 261 corrects that inconsistency by allowing separately administered facilities to be counted as their own school regardless of district size. It simply ensures that funding reflects the operational realities and does not penalize districts based on the district enrollment for offering alternative pathways that meet student needs. Finally, House Bill 261 improves the way intensive special education services are funded by recognizing that student needs do not align neatly with a single count date. Districts are legally obligated to serve students with intensive needs wherever they enroll and whenever they enroll, and funding should reflect that reality. The bill accomplishes this without changing eligibility requirements or service expectations. Taken together, House Bill 261 improves predictability, fairness, and alignment. It supports responsibility planning, consistent treatment across programs, and most importantly, stability for students. On behalf of the Juneau School District, I respectfully urge your support for House Bill 261. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hauser. We're going to go to our online folks. We're going to start with Christy Sitz. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Co-Chair Tim Shute and Story and members of the House Education Committee. For the record, my name is Christy Sitz and I serve as the president of the Anchorage Education Association. I've spent 27 plus years as an educator and live in Chugiak. As an ASD graduate and a parent of four, I have seen firsthand how stability shapes a child's future. But I'm speaking today to emphasize how the lack of stability profoundly affects educators and their students. Currently, many teachers in our district change schools every year due to fluctuations in student enrollment. This continuous upheaval is stressful for teachers, families, and students alike. Educators typically do not master their craft or curriculum until their third year in a consistent role. By changing schools, grade levels, and curricula annually, teachers are prevented from reaching their full professional potential and providing the best possible support for their students. On behalf of the thousands of educators in Anchorage, I want to thank Representative Story for sponsoring HB 261. We are currently caught in a cycle of backwards budgeting that is damaging the future of our schools. Under the current system, school districts are forced into high-stakes guesswork. We ask administrators to staff programs based on a roller coaster of uncertainty rather than actual needs of students. The most demoralizing part of this process is the annual ritual of pink slips. In Anchorage, we are witnessing a painful exodus of both early career and experienced educators. When a talented teacher receives a layoff notice in the spring, they don't wait until late summer to see if they are going to get their job back. They find stability in other states or other professions. They leave Alaska and they don't come back. HB 261 ends the limbo budgeting. By using a three-year student count average, it ensures programs remain intact regardless of minor fluctuations.
Can you please wrap up your comments?
It allows...
Apologies, we're...
We cannot solve...
I'm just asking if you could wrap up your comments.
We cannot solve Alaska's educator shortage, one of the worst in the country. If we continue to treat our professionals as disposable budget line items, I respectfully urge you... to advance HB 261. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sitz. I apologize. We're trying to keep our testimony to 2 minutes. So if we could now go to Rod Morrison in Thorn Bay. Mr. Morrison,
thank you.
Please put your name on record. Good morning.
Yes, my name is Rod Morrison. I'm superintendent of Southeast Island School District on Prince of Wales Island.
Please begin for 2 minutes.
Okay. I'll keep it brief. I want to say that, I've been in Alaska since 2001 as an administrator, and this is the first bill that will help small schools maintain a predictable budget. I'm a district of 8 schools. In the past 3 years, our enrollment went from 194 to 164 back to 200. Last year, we had a school in Whale Pass that we had budgeted for 11 kids to be there, which is just enough to keep the school open, and only 9 showed up. As a result, our district lost over $300,000, which equates I got to cut 3 teachers. Not only that, it'll shut that community down. The schools are the centerpiece of our community. This year, Whale Pass jumped back up to 15 students, so we're able to keep it open, but the lack of stability is awfully tough when we go to hire teachers. And I want to hire teachers that want to stay in our state and provide quality education for all. So this bill is fantastic. I'm super happy to see it there. And for our EAA school district perspective, this will really help us. So thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. We're going to go next to Cindy O'Daniel in Skagway. If you could put your name on record and begin your testimony, you'll have 2 minutes.
Yeah, hi, this is Cindy O'Daniel. I'm the business manager at Skagway School District. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'm speaking today in support of House Bill 261 from the perspective of a small rural school with fluctuating enrollment. In rural Alaska, enrollments shift don't mean that our costs disappear. We still have to staff classrooms. We have to heat and insure buildings. We have to meet state and federal requirements. Under the current system, a small drop in student numbers can trigger an immediate and significant loss of funding. Right now, school funding is largely based on a single October student count. That snapshot doesn't reflect how our communities actually change over a school year. Families move in and out, students arrive mid-year, and students' needs evolve. House Bill 261 addresses this problem in a practical way. It doesn't increase the base student allocation, and it doesn't ask for new money. Instead, it gives districts the ability to use student count that best reflects reality, whether that's the prior year, a 3-year average, or a later count, creating consistency, especially when a class sizes swing between 1 and 18 students. For districts experiencing enrollment decline, this matters. It allows us to adjust responsibly instead of making sudden cuts that disrupt classrooms, eliminate programs, or force staff reductions mid-year. Stability in funding means stability for students, educators, and the community. This bill also helps rural districts respond when students with intensive needs arrive or are identified after October. Those services are legally required, and the costs are real. House Bill 261 allows funding to better match those realities and support students. Again, thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you, Ms. O'Daniel. Thanks for calling in today. We're going to go next to our final online testifier, Caroline Storm from Anchorage. If you could put your name on record and begin your testimony, you'll have 2 minutes.
Good morning, co-chairs, Hemshoot and Story, and House Education Committee. Thank you for this opportunity to testify. My name is Caroline Storm. I am the Executive Director of the Coalition for Education Equity, and as such, I am calling in support of HB 261 for more stable public school funding. School boards and districts do their best to budget based on the known value of the BSA and their projected student count every year before they know how many students are going to be enrolled. Every year, at least one district is caught off guard with counts based in October that don't account for students who have moved in or out of the district. And As such, they have budgeted based on either too few or too many students. And this is problematic when they're trying to adjust their budget in October, once the school year has already begun. I'm sorry, I am a little discombobulated this morning.
You're doing great.
Declining enrollment is an issue. However, it is not solely the fault of districts. There are many factors and many reasons why parents decide to move out of state or to a different district. Until the legislature is willing to address the fixed costs that districts are saddled with and cannot change, the legislature needs to do what they can to assist districts with smoothing their operations. There is not one silver bullet to fixing the public education funding, but this is one small lever to adjust in order to provide more stability for school districts. And as such, again, I urge support of this bill and hope that it passes out of this committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. And with that, I see no one else in the room and no one else online, and we are going to go ahead and close public testimony. And so with that, we're going to hold House Bill 261 over. We're going to wrap up. Did you want to add something, Co-Chair Story? We have about 1 minute.
Thank you. I did want to, Co-Chair Himshute and the committee, acknowledge that Heather Heineken has been on the line to answer questions about the fiscal note, but we will hold that. But I wanted to thank her for being there online today waiting.
Yes, so we had both Heather Heineken and Marie Marks online to help us with questions this morning. If you have questions for them, we are going to bring this bill back. But for today, we're going to go ahead and wrap up what I'm calling on time. The new on time is 10 minutes till 10. On Monday, so we're going to hold House Bill 261 over. On Monday, this committee will hold our first joint Senate and House Education meeting from 8 until 10 here in this room, where we will be hearing from the Alaska Association of School Boards. This concludes the committee hearing for this morning. The time is 9:49, and the House Education Committee meeting is adjourned.